The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Jordan, open! Chicago with the lead! Bryant, to Shaq!
Not a game. We talking about practice.
LeBron James with no regard for human life! And he's going to
ball! Back out to Allen. His three-pointer, bang!
Curry for three.
Wow! Unbelievable! Making it rain in New York.
We the North are now we the champions.
Not the destination.
G'day and welcome to the Ball Boys NBA podcast. My name is Mitch Casey and you can find me on Twitter at BallBoysNBA. And as always, I'm joined with my good mate, fellow Aussie, Callum Mack. How you doing, man?
Pretty good, Mitchy. Let's get into this draft. I've had to study a lot of players here. And I could go 60 deep, but we're going to go to 30 today.
Yeah, we're stopping at 30. I know we don't want to bore everyone with the second round, but that's right. That's what today's all about. Today's podcast, we are going picks 15 through 30. So if you haven't already, check out our video or podcast on the mock lottery that we've done. We might just do a quick little rehash of the players selected. Cal, do you want to take the audience through the perfect mock draft that we selected on our last podcast?
I can. And I felt pretty good about it, actually, as well. So we got...
I didn't mind it either.
Going to the Detroit Pistons. Jalen Green to the Rockets. They need that young guy. Evan Mobley ends up at the Cavaliers. Good fit there. Jalen Suggs, easiest pick in the draft, being the fourth pick, ends up at Toronto. And then a bit of a surprise pick, Moses Moody, number five.
My guy.
Scotty Barnes goes number six to the OKC Thunder. We then have number seven, Keon Johnson to the Golden State Warriors, which leaves Kuminga dropping to the Magic at the eighth pick. And then Sacramento Kings taking Jalen Johnson. New Orleans going with Davion Mitchell. The Hornets taking Kai Jones, which, by the way, I'd love to see him in LaMelo Ball play, running the break.
That would be great. He had a big showing out on the he had a big showing out on the Clutch Sports Pro Day today. He looks super athletic, Kai Jones. Yeah.
Oh,
anyway, carry on.
he is a freak. And once again, when he's running the court with LaMelo, there's definitely some lobs there.
Yeah.
Hopefully that happens.
Yeah.
The Spurs pick up a steal in Sengun, Alperen Sengun, the MVP of the Turkish League. The Pacers taking Jaden Springer. And then finally, Golden State taking the defensive specialist in Usman Garuba.
Those are all the players. Yep, those are all the players off the board. If you want some more detailed analysis, we go pretty heavy and in detail in all of those picks, justifying why we picked them. Again, just like last mock draft, this one is, again, what we would be doing, not what we think that the NBA teams would do. If I had to predict, I guarantee you that this will not be the order that happens on draft night. I don't really see Well, maybe, but I'm not predicting that someone's going to be taking Moses Moody at number five. It's just what I would have done. But talking too much, let's get straight into it, Cal. I've given you the first pick here at pick 15. You're going to solve the issues with the Washington Wizards and what they're going to do for their team. And let us know what are the Washington Wizards doing at pick 15.
So pick 15, I think there's nothing. It's a hard pick. I don't really know what they want. I guess they're pushing for the playoffs. They just got the eighth seed. They're probably thinking if they get Thomas O'Brien back, they'd be a bit more of a contender and push a bit more. But then again, look, he had a bad injury. So they could go big.
Yeah.
They could, that backcourt between Russ and Brad is obviously taken, and there's 3 years in both their contracts. So it's a tough call. I've ended up leaning towards, and I think they should take Josh Giddey, the Aussie bloke. I think he's
really
a good
fit for him.
I just don't have much faith in Denny Advia. I'm not too sure how he's going to turn out in that team. They're similar. They're definitely similar kind of prospects. They still have Hachimura, who I think is a solid kind of starter. Maybe he could be a six man off the bench, but I feel like Josh Giddey could be a good kind of prospect for now. He still needs to work on his shot, but someone coming off the bench and running some plays, you could play him with Bradley Beal when they play that second unit, when Bradley just stays on as the scorer. And I think he could play about 20 to 25 minutes and be like contributing to a reasonable role.
Very interesting. I'm a bit surprised. Look, I don't mind the pick. When I was thinking about what I would do at this point, I was really lost because I don't know what the Thunder, Washington Wizards are doing. Like you said, are they contending? Are they trying to be in the playoffs? Are they rebuilding? Like, they don't really have the talent to really contend. But then you said those guys were on the books for so long. Whether or not they make a trade, I'm not sure. I think Josh Giddey, if I'm going back to my big board, he's a lot higher than this for me. So personally, I think he is definitely a lottery slash potentially top 10 talent. I see a lot of upside there. I also see a little bit of downside. I see a little bit of bust potential just by the nature of his shooting mechanics and his lack of defense and athleticism. But I do see some special level passing ability from him. Did you see he was playing for the Boomers, the Olympic team today against Nigeria? Looked pretty good. Hit a few threes in transition.
That's what you like to see. We got a good team. We had Thibault as well, just being very destructive on the defensive end.
Yeah, and he looked at home. He looked comfortable. 18 years old, young player. Still lots of growth happening. 6'8". Some are saying 6'9". So really, really big body, but he's a genuine point guard and can fill that role. Interesting fit here on the Wizards. Obviously, you've got that stacked backcourt, so maybe he plays a bit of a wing role at times. Is that what you're sort of foreseeing here for him?
Well, like on the defensive end, there's no way he's guarding people like Damian Lillard.
No, probably not. Yeah.
So, and that's why I thought it probably isn't the biggest deal. Bradley Beal, obviously, can play. He had to play a bit of the point guard when so many point guards went down in Washington over the past couple of years. But I can see him more as a bench role. He'll come on. He'll fill in the minutes when Russ isn't out there. And with his passing, with Russ running the fast break, I do see some compatibility there, especially with Bradley Beal. So.
Yeah, no, I can definitely. I would love to see him play with Bradley Beal. I think he'd be a great player next to him. The Westbrook fit, I think, is a bit strange, especially if he's lacking that jump shot. But really, I don't think that the Wizards should be drafting based on the fit with Westbrook. Like, they're not gonna win a title with Westbrook. They might not win a first round with Westbrook. So, I think that this is a great pick for the future, and someone that they, I think based on my big board, this would be best player available to me. Is he up there in terms of your big board?
Yeah, he would be. He's around this area for me. Like, he's around the, I had him 14, 15. Yep. Yeah, 15. So he's smack bang where I want him. So I'm kind of getting the value. And once again, I think the fit isn't terrible. You can pull it off the bench, especially. So in terms of a comparison, I'll probably say in the open court, he honestly does remind me a bit of LaMelo Ball. Just with his passing and facilitating. And with the, I guess, the size, he looks a little bit like Joe Ingles as well. So maybe Joe Ingles, LaMelo, have a bit of a baby, then you got Josh Giddey.
I like that. The Ingles LaMelo baby. There you have it. Look, I considered him as high as, you know, even like the Pelicans at 10. Obviously we went with another guard and Davion Mitchell. You can consider him there. I mean, it's a bit weird if they're not happy with Lonzo, similar type of player. So maybe they would go somewhere else. I definitely considered him at the Pacers at pick 13. And then, you know, Warriors, depending on what you need, and then the Wizards. So he's in this sort of range, I think between 10 to 16, I think is like the range that he's going to go. So we'll be interesting to see where it goes on draft night. So, all right, well, let's move on to pick 16, the Oklahoma City Thunder, their second pick of the evening, and they've still got one more coming up. So, and look, I think this is a great draft for them to have this many picks inside the top 18, because like we said with Giddy, there's still some high level, high upside talent in this draft at this point in the first round. So my selection with them is Trey Mann coming over there. I think this is a player who I'm very high on. For me, it's a matter of best player available and also an excellent fit. I think that because you've got a lot of guards in terms of Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, you've drafted now Scottie Barnes in our mock draft. You've got players Pokuševski, who's another ball handler as well. You're covering up a few weaknesses in terms of Trey Mann, as you know, there's some defensive questions. He's not the best playmaker as a point guard. So with other ball handlers and other great defensive players on this team, all you need to do is ask Trey Mann to score. And if you would give me a list of Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, I think that Trey Mann is the next best scorer, pure scorer on that list out of the rest of the class. I don't see anyone else being ahead of him. Maybe another player that we might talk about a bit later might be up there, but I think he's also a better shooter than that player that we might mention later.
Yeah, he's a good combo guard. It's funny because he actually reminds me, my comparison was Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. So it's interesting to put them together. I don't see his ceiling being as high as Shai. I think he'll be a pretty good... He could be a pretty good six man. I guess he's got the length being 6'5 to potentially develop into a pretty good starting role. I'm not too sure what his ceiling really could be, though. I don't think he can get over 20 points a game, for example. I'm
going to push back on that. I disagree. I see his ceiling, and I'm talking ceiling. I think he's a Kemba Walker type. I would say one of the craftiest, shiftiest ball handlers in this draft as well. Can get his own shot, credible handles, creates his own shot from the 3-point range, excellent free throw shooter, excellent mid-range shooter. He's a three-level scorer, so I see him as that upside, and he's got a little bit more size than someone like Kemba, so I think that's his ceiling. Even if he is a six man, I think he is still valuable there. I would say that's his floor, because he's going to come in and at worst be a Jordan Clarkson type to me, personally.
Yeah, okay. And what about the fit between him and Shai? Do you reckon that's a solid backcourt, or do they need someone else? Both of them aren't pure facilitators.
Yeah,
I think they can do the job, obviously.
Yeah, but like I said, you've got players like Moses Moody, who's a good facilitator. You've got players like Pokuševski, who's a good facilitator. So you've got enough playmaking on the team.
A lot of good passes.
A lot of good passes, yeah. So I think there's enough playmaking. You don't necessarily have to have one guy dominating the ball the entire time, although I do think that will be Shai. I think he can still continue to develop that as we go along. But, I do like the fit. I think they cover a lot of his weaknesses with other players on the roster.
Yeah, you convinced me with the fit. I think you're right, actually. All those players all together, they'll be able to move it really nicely if they obviously hit their ceiling. So Poku is a bit of a question.
Yeah.
But flip the coin.
You're taking stabs. You're taking stabs. I'm a big fan of Trey Mann. Yeah, let's move on to pick 17. Another tricky one. They've surprisingly got a lot of talent, and we're talking about the Memphis Grizzlies. They've got a lot of guys who are maybe not stars, but serviceable role players. So, where are you going to go with this at pick 17 for Grizzlies, Cal?
They do have a deep team, but I think they are in more of a win now kind of persona. That's what they're looking for. They made the playoffs. Knocked out Golden State to get that eighth seed, so that's exciting for them, and they're still a young team. So I have decided to select for them James Bouknight as a bit of a scorer on the bench, because we know, I guess, Dylan Brooks plays the you know, the 2-3. And I think James Book Knight's a guy who comes off the bench and just be more of that spark plug shooter for them in the short term. And in the long term, I actually quite like his potential. He definitely is a scorer. That's who he is. I reckon he's going to come to this league and he will be a good scorer. He'll be similar to some of the plays we saw in the last draft, like a Quickly, for example. So when it comes off the bench, and he's already a pretty good scorer. He could put up 20 a night if you give him some minutes, kind of thing. So I like his fit there. I think he will contribute to wins. As I said, they're a deep team already, but I feel like a spark plug off the bench they don't really have. They just have a lot of good players right now, and so that's why I like the fit, and I also once again like the ceiling for Book Knight as well.
Yeah, he's a funny one. Like, I've seen a lot of mock drafts and big boards where they've got Book Knight going as high as 7 to the Warriors. I've actually seen that quite a lot, which for me is that's way too high for a player like him. I like this area for him in the draft. I don't really see the ceiling as of him being like, you know, a go-to scorer on a contending team. I think he is a better suited to, like you said, that six-man role. Or second or third primary scorer on a team. I've got a lot of question marks about his shooting in terms of like 3-point shooting, especially compared to someone like Trey Mann. The percentages are a lot less. They don't scream translating to the NBA from a 3-point shooting perspective. He gets to the rim really well. He's a good creator off the dribble and can hit a mid-range jump shot off the bounce, but it's the spot-up shooting. It's the, shooting three-pointers. There's a slight concern about how he's going to go when he's not the guy. Do you know what I mean? Because he was the guy in college. You've got someone like, you've got players in the NBA who are going to take the ball out of his hands. Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., they're going to be their guys. I wonder how James Book Knight will fill into that kind of a role. What are your thoughts about that with him making that transition?
And that's why I think, especially for the first year, you have to bring him off the bench and try and put a bit of praise into him. Say, just do a bit of a Jordan Clarkson role. You know, when you come out, you've got the green light. Do what you've done in college to against some second units. And hopefully it works out for him and he can average, put up a good dozen points a game or something. So that's what I see for him. For this first year especially, and then in terms of like a ultimate ceiling, I'd probably say he could be someone like a CJ McCollum, who came into a league in a similar kind of scenario. Scorer, 6'5", pretty long guy, who
started off the bench,
crafty, comes off the bench, exactly.
I like that. And like I said, I like this range, and I think that the Memphis Grizzlies would be a good fit because he'd be coming into a situation where they are win now, so he would have to buy in and come together for like a team goal in the end. All right, let's move on to pick 18, and I've got the OKC Thunder again. So again, we know the OKC Thunder, they're in rebuild mode. They're just gathering talent. They're not winning now. They're not doing anything crazy. So I've gone with a bit of a project pick here. I'm going with Zaire Williams, someone who was highly touted coming out of high school, highly anticipated. Let down in his college season. The stats do not look pretty, the efficiency stats especially. But he is He's a good moving wing player, fluid moving, fairly athletic, 6'8", 6'9", so good size, good length, quite skinny. I've seen a lot of things that, again, I don't follow college during the season, but catching up with all this draft research, from what I can hear, there was a bit of a weirdness going on with his school and COVID situations and travel arrangements and different things like that. So that may have impacted his performance playing. I'm not too sure. So someone who might be, he's a bit of a boom or bust kind of candidate. And I think at this point with OKC at pick 18, if you hit, you hit, and you get someone really, really good. I kind of compare him to someone like a Michael Porter Jr. that the Denver Nuggets drafted a couple of years ago or a few years ago, who had this potential. He had the injury concerns. Obviously, Book Knight, it's not injury, it's performance-based. But, if it does hit, you've got a great player. And you can definitely see that potential there. What are your thoughts on Book Knight?
You mean Zaire Williams?
Zaire Williams, my bad.
Yeah, look, you're right. I'm looking at his stats right now, and I guess first and foremost, coming out of high school, he was like a top 10 kind of prospect. He was long.
He was very highly rated.
He was one of the best if you just, you know, did a draft then. But he's dropped a bit of value because his field goal, he only shot 37% from the field. He had three turnovers a game in 28 minutes. So it's pretty, you look at it and you're like, yikes, that looks like a bit of a disaster. But when you look at his highlights, you definitely do. I saw Michael Porter Jr. as well, from like just his stroke, the tall, how he can just get his shot off. So when it's falling, it looks good. He definitely is a project, and that's what OKC want right now. They're in no rush at all.
Exactly.
So it's I think Zaire Williams will end up at the OKC Thunder. I'd put money on it if I could on a team.
Yeah.
Because he is pretty much exactly what they need right now.
I think it's the perfect fit. It's the perfect marriage between the team, what they want, and what the player in terms of upside and risk. So I don't think anyone really wants to take the risk on him before then. And when you fall into the laps of OKC, it's a perfect sort of match. So a fairly easy one for me to sort of pick there personally. Let's head over to pick 19, the New York Knicks. Who are you picking for New York?
So for New York Knicks, I'm going to have back-to-back New York picks as well, by the way. So
I've had the OKC, you've got the New York.
Exactly, they have the 19th and they have the 21st. So I don't know if they could package it up for a trade. I guess we're yet to find out, but I'll go into the draft assuming I have the pick. People to mention, I guess I have Julius Randle, top 10 player in the league, because it was the second all NBA team. I got D Rose. Yep. I mean, you can pretty much give up on Frank Ntilikina for a point guard.
I think so.
I think point guard is probably what they need, because Alfred Payton, his contract's expiring too. He's not really going anywhere.
They ended up starting Derrick Rose in the playoffs, which I don't think long-term is going to be a successful formula. So maybe for one more season, but I think long-term moving forward, you want to move away from that.
Yeah, I totally agree. So point guard, it's a clear lack for them. So I think they're just going to take for this 19th pick. They'll go with Jared Butler, who I quite like. I'm assuming the health thing comes back and he's fine. There's a bit of an asterisk here because there is this heart problem. I know the draft's in a couple more weeks. I don't know what's going to happen there, but I really like Jared Butler. I think he's more of a combo guard-ish, but I guess Julius Randle, you can play a bit of offense through him anyway. I like Jared Butler. I compare him kind of similar to a Trey Mann. He can be pretty crafty, but he can be a pretty good shooter as well in Jared Butler.
Yep.
So I can see him being a solid NBA player. I think he'd get along with the coach as well. So I like Jared Butler.
I like Jared Butler myself as well. Like, obviously, there are those concerns. We're not in the medical rooms with, you know, heart conditions. As soon as you start throwing those sort of things around, it is a bit of a red flag. So I guess this is, for me, this is kind of the area that he would go if all things came back pretty good. I think this is sort of on the higher end of where he would be drafted, personally. But I guess we can assume that because we're not there. And we haven't heard anything to the contrary. So I like his defense ability as well. He's good at picking at passing lanes, racked up a lot of steals in college. And obviously he's playing on a good team. So maybe wasn't able to fully showcase his talents there with other players like David Mitchell on the same team. So has that experience playing at the high level of college. I think he's a good fit for this team. Like, his ability to shoot well, play in the passing lanes, playing good defense, which Tibbs is going to love. Do you see him as a point guard? I'm not sure if I see that, like, creating and playmaking from him as much as some of these other guys. Or is he more of a two in your eyes?
Yeah, I think he's definitely a combo guard. He could gain something there. I mean, he averaged 4.8 assists in the college season, which is pretty good. So he can
that is good.
He's definitely, at this point, not a pure point guard because he can score. But that's a good thing about him because he's so good at spot-up shooting as well. I mean, he shot the three-point at about 42% this season.
Yeah, really good clip.
He shot 38%, so it's going up, but both of those are definitely trending in the right direction.
Yeah, no, both very, very good numbers, and I think shooting is a need for New York as well. You know, they don't have too many players that can space the floor there with Julius Randle being your centerpiece. So I like the pick. I wonder if you could have got him with the next one, because now there's a player here that I wasn't expecting to be here because I thought he was the go-to guy for New York, which I might have to consider picking. So let's move over to the Atlanta Hawks at pick 20. The Hawks are a bit of a tough one for me because they obviously made the conference finals. They've got Trae Young. They've got a lot of pieces. They've got a lot of wings in Huerta and Bogdanovic. And you've also got Yeah, you've got a lot of guys there. You've got Gallinari, you've got a few bigs and Capella. Like there's your two players position deep at every position.
Cam Reddish except as well.
Cam Reddish. Yep. Yeah, we didn't even mention him, who went off in the last game. So except at point guard, there's no one really to back up Trey.
You don't have any faith
Trey,
in Chris Dunn?
Not particularly. So I didn't know that this player, I didn't think this player would last this long. I'm considering Sharif Cooper here. It's a bit of a weird pick. I feel like you're limiting his upside with Trae Young there. So I don't love it for him being Sharif Cooper, but I think he's the best player available. The other player I'm considering here is a Franz Wagner or someone of that nature. I'm considering this. And the other player is Corey Kispert. I'm going to go with a Franz Wagner at this pick, who was the original guy I had at this spot. I think just where Atlanta are, they need these kind of players that can fill multiple roles, multiple positions, because they do have a few moving pieces. I'm pretty sure John Collins is a free agent. I expect him to be back. But I think he's a guy who can play the three, can play the four. Not really great at any one skill, but good at a lot of skills. You know, he's a decent passer, he's a decent defender, he's a decent shooter. Not really your high upside player, but someone who's going to fit in and be able to contribute right away, which I guess, you know, being the fact that they're at the conference finals, they're trying to do. So I am selecting Franz Wagner at pick 20 for the Hawks. What are your thoughts there?
It's like they're such a deep team. I'd probably even say the Atlanta Hawks are the deepest team in the league. They made it to the conference finals with like two of their key guys down, and that this really is I mean, Trae Young was huge, but they honestly are just super deep. The only people that are really losing.
Do they even?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, do they even want this pick? Like, do you think that like we're not doing any trades in our mock drafts? But like, do you think that there's potentially a trade out of this pick here for the Hawks? Maybe to package the pick with another player to upgrade the position, or what do you think? Do you reckon they could be a candidate?
Yeah, definitely. Like, what position do you reckon they'd be looking to trade though? Like that small forward position.
Yeah, I reckon that small forward, they might want to, like, oh, we didn't even mention DeAndre Hunter, you know, like maybe an upgrade there of some kind, you know, maybe a veteran backup point guard, or, I'm not sure, but I don't know, something there. I don't love a lot of the options here for the Hawks personally, just in terms of fit.
Yeah, if you could pick up a vet point guard, just like a D Rose to come off the bench for this team, that definitely would help, because so much of the weight rests on Trae Young that I guess Bogdanovich did kind of run a bit of that point guard when Trae Young was off the bench and did a pretty good job at it, but that's not his pure role. He definitely is more of a scorer, shooter, three-point shooter kind of guy. So the expiring contracts, you got Tony Snell and Lou Williams. I don't really expect either of them to stay.
Nah, neither do I. I think they're both pretty washed.
Exactly, so they're probably out of there. John Collins should get re-signed. So they really should have pretty much the whole team back.
Yeah, I'd say the main core is coming back, and but they run 11 deep sort of thing, so there is a lot of talent in there.
So Wagner can be a bit of a project for him. Give him a couple of years under a pretty deep team, and he'll get a dozen minutes here and there.
Yeah, I think he's someone who can contribute right away, and he's flexible in terms of his position. So if you do get any injuries, he can sort of fit in here and there, which we know that Atlanta did have a fair share of their injuries last year. But because they were so deep, they were able to plug and play all these players and keep going. So a little bit more of that for them with this pick. Although I did, maybe I'm starting to regret, maybe I should have picked Sharif Cooper, but we'll see. We'll see how that all turns out. Well, I'll throw it back over to you for pick 21, the New York Knicks, back on the clock.
All right, New York Knicks back on the clock. Quickly, so Wagner is off the cards. He's gone.
Wagner's gone.
I kind of like getting a bit of a prospect now. And this guy is one of my favorite guys in terms of a bit of a sleeper. I'm gonna go with Ayo Dosunmu.
Okay. I interesting.
The only reason I want him is just because for the Knicks, like a Porzingis kind of thing, he could be really exciting. If he pans out, I think he's got a good ceiling. I think he's definitely got a lot of potential. He's a scorer, super crafty. In the New York Lights, when he does some of those moves, I reckon it'd be great. It'd be awesome. He's probably more of a... He's kind of pretty much what they have in Quickly already, like a spark plug scorer off the bench.
Yeah.
But then again, I think in the bright lights, he would be awesome. And I definitely think there's moving pieces to be said for this team. And Dosunmu definitely probably has a few more years to really just make his game onto that next level, and I like him for the Knicks. So are the Knicks taking two guards? Why not?
I think they need guard help. They need shooting. They need a bit of that backcourt help. I think that's clearly their lack. They've got a couple of big guys in Nerlens and Mitch Robb who can sort of rotate through the center and share the minutes there. Obviously, you've got Julius Randle there. So I think, yeah, the backcourt is where I would be looking for the New York Knicks. I'm really surprised you didn't go Sharif Cooper here. I really think that he's a good fit over there in New York. They need a playmaking point guard.
But I just love this guy's game. I think he's better. He's higher on my big board, and that's why I decided to take him.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I do. Personally, I've got him a little bit further down. I think he's sort of like a late first round kind of pick. I guess we're approaching that part of the draft anyway.
Can I tell you some stats?
But
can I tell you his stats?
Right? Hit me with some stats. Yeah, hit me with some stats.
Right, 20 points a game, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, shooting 48% from the field, 39% from the three-point line.
They're nice stats. I can't argue with the stats. They're very nice. And at this point of the draft, I guess you are shooting your shot a little bit and seeing how things come back.
I mean,
but
26 and 5, like he can facilitate with 5 assists. Obviously, everything ran through him. He played 35 minutes a game for a college kid. It's a lot of minutes.
Big minutes.
But I like his game. Yeah, his defensive prowess isn't quite there. But I think, as I said, he's crafty. And under the New York lights, I like the ceiling for him.
He's a little bit older, at 21 and a half years old. Not the oldest. Yeah, it's not super old. It's not the oldest sort of range in this part of the draft. But I would have selected Sharif Cooper at that pick. But that's fine. It's your pick, and I'll sweep him up later. Okay, moving over to the LA Lakers. Now, again, I'm looking at Sharif Cooper. I think he's the best player in the draft. I think he's the player that's slipping in this draft. However, for the Lakers, you've got LeBron, and he's your point guard. You're in a win now mode, so clearly you do want the player that fits the team the best at this point. And I think another great player for them has dropped all the way down that I wasn't expecting to be here, and I'm quite confident in selecting Corey Kispert with this pick. Someone who I could have seen go as high as maybe even potentially a Warriors at pick 14. He's obviously not a high upside guy, but he's a shooter and he's a solid defender, but potentially one of the best off-ball shooters in this draft. Your classic Kyle Korver, JJ Redick, moving off screens, collecting the ball and shooting. So I think he's an excellent fit for these LA Lakers and someone who can contribute straight away as an older player.
Yeah, for the Lakers, that's a huge win for them. He's even going as high as potentially even 10 for New Orleans, because New Orleans needs the shooting. So, I wouldn't be surprised if he goes that high on draft day, but to get him out here at the 22nd pick, great pick for just to hit those threes with LeBron. They do need a point guard, but I assume that obviously being the Lakers, they can pick it up in the free agency.
Yeah, I mean, they'll sign someone. But even still, like for me, they play through LeBron. LeBron's their point guard. They want shooters around him. And what better shooter is left in the draft than Corey Kispert? The answer is there isn't. So I think he's an underrated defender as well. He's obviously not going to be an excellent defender because of the physical limitations, but he plays good team defense from what I've seen in the scouting reports and in the tape. Good pick there, but again, he's older. He's definitely going to those teams that are in win now mode. So there's only a few select teams that you're sort of looking at, your Pelicans, your Warriors, maybe your Grizzlies, maybe your Knicks, and now the Lakers. So there's really, of the top 20, sort of 22 picks, there's probably only 5 picks before this spot before he can land that I think. So 5 teams I think potentially passed up on him. So that is something that could play out on draft night, although I probably expect him to go a bit earlier than this. All right, let's move on to what pick are we up to now, Cal? We're at pick 23. We've got some back-to-back Houston Rocket picks. So you've got the first one. Who are they taking at pick 23?
That's right. I'm not going to slightly overthink it. There's two guys that I'm staring at, so I'm probably assuming you might take the next one. But Houston back-to-back picks, that they obviously just need talent at this point. In this part of the draft as well, it's just let's just take the best player available. And try and make sure that he does reach his ceiling. So I am probably going to... I actually really kind of like Isaiah Jackson. I think he could play with Christian Wood as well as a front court. His defensive prowess, and they need that kind of power forward. So he's a good fit, and I like his hustle. I like what he could be on a defensive lineup. So Isaiah Jackson for the Houston Rockets.
Yep, I like Isaiah Jackson too. I think he is probably a player, again, big range. I could see him going maybe even as high as Charlotte at pick 11 in terms of just needing a big man. That's probably a bit high for me personally. I think I like the Kai Jones and Sengun's of the world better. But he's an excellent defender. The probably, maybe, would you say, like, aside from Mobley, the best shot blocker in this class?
Yeah. Defender out of he can come out of nowhere very easily.
Yeah.
So 2.6 blocks a game.
Yeah, yeah. He's a pogo stick. I think that's in limited minutes as well. I don't think he even played extensive minutes. He reminds me a bit of a Nerlens Noel kind of type. Skinny but super mobile, athletic, pogo sticky, good defensive instincts. The offensive game is raw, but there is potential there. I think he's maybe got a bit more potential on the offensive side of the court than a Nerlens Noel, but it's not there yet, and you are sort of projecting that rather than assuming it is there. So I like the pick. I think he's a good upside pick for the Houston Rockets. All right, this is where I've got to take my guy. At pick 24, I think this guy has slid too far in this draft personally. So I'm taking Sharif Cooper here at pick 24 for the Houston Rockets. It's just best player available. The fit might not be the best with your Kevin Porter Juniors and your Jalen Greens there. But it looks like with those players, you've got at least a bit of shooting there. But this guy is, if you've got the top three passes in this draft, I think this guy is number three. You've got your Cade Cunninghams. You've probably got your Josh Giddey. And then I think it's Sharif Cooper. He might even rival those other two. He might be the best passer in this draft. So you've got shooting concerns, you've got defensive concerns, but you've got an elite skill here, and he can play as a high usage player as well, we've seen in college. So I think that's who I'm going to be taking here at pick 24.
Yeah, I think his ceiling's a bit limited because, yeah, look, he put up 20 points a game and 8 assists. So the assists are great. I do agree with you there. He can facilitate. Yeah. He finds his open man. But that being said, like 39% from the field isn't great. So it was a high usage. Yeah. His three-point field goal as well, so 22% from the three-point line. There's going to be a lot of promise for the next level.
That's bad.
And it makes me think he definitely probably shouldn't be playing off-ball at all. So, yes, he can facilitate. He can score inefficiently. He will be a defensive liability, I think, as well. So I'm not too sure what the ceiling is for this guy. And that's why he kind of slid. I didn't take him in a few picks. As you said, he could go in the teens. He could definitely go in the teens.
Yeah.
For me personally, I think the weaknesses are glaring a bit more than the strengths. So that's why I've held off.
Yeah, I totally get it. I can see it too. There are obviously glaring weaknesses. I think the upside is there because if the shot does develop, and it is a big if, you know, if the shot does develop, he has, and this might sound very high, but he's got Trae Young sort of appeal. He's got a long way to go to get to that level of shooting, and obviously Trae Young coming out of the draft was a much higher level shooter than Sharif Cooper is, but they're similar levels of passes, similar levels of sort of court orchestrating in terms of like running the offense, running the flow of the game. He's really actually quite physical for a small guard, although apparently he measures 6'4" on the combine, which I'm questioning a little bit. He doesn't look 6'4" to me. He looks closer to like 6'1" or 6'. Yeah, but at the combine, apparently 6'4". I don't know. Maybe that's his hair and they measured his afro or something like that. But he's very physical. He can get to the rim. He's very, very quick, very fast player. So there's a lot of physical tools from that aspect that I like. But I do agree that there are some issues. But I don't think he falls further than the Houston Rockets. They're going to snap him up as a high upside sort of player. All right, let's move over to the LA Clippers. Pick 25. Who you got, Cal?
All right, so for the Clips, I'm a little bit disappointed I couldn't get Isaiah Jackson because I think they kind of need the power forward center role. Because, I mean, look, they're a pretty deep team anyway. I don't know. They really lacked, I guess, the bigs in the playoffs, and everyone at this point in time is probably more of a project anyway. But I think I'm still going to kind of go for that and fit the needs of the team and go JT Thor, who...
Okay.
I kind of like... he actually is kind of similar to a Kai Jones, who we had going in the late lottery. He ended up falling 11th to the Charlotte Hornets. So I think it similar athletic kind of guy can... be a prototypical center in this league. He's long, he's big, he's 6'10", and all signs point to him, you know, really fitting into this new NBA mold. So some people have him going up a fair bit higher in the early 20s. Right here, we've ended up taking him 26.
Pick 25, so, 26.
Which I think is pretty good, and I think that the Clippers should be pretty happy with JT Thor. He could contribute and play, you know, the high teens in terms of minutes, 18, 19, get on there, be a bit of a defensive spark plug and really nourish them.
Yeah, it's another team I find difficult in terms of need. Like, you wonder about what's going on with Ibaka and his health. Obviously, in the playoffs, they elected to play small a fair bit, so they're a tricky team. And obviously, we had the emergence of Reggie Jackson, you know, before his... what were we calling him? All-Star Reggie.
He was playing at an All-Star level.
He was crushing it. So before his emergence, you know, we would have said point guard was their need. The other thing we need to consider here, that it has come out today that Kawhi Leonard has undergone ACL surgery. So I would say that they're probably not a contending team for the championship next year without Kawhi Leonard. He's actually a free agent this season. He can opt in. So lots of moving pieces to happen there. So I do think that JT Thor is a player that has a little bit of upside there as well as that pick. So I do like it for that reason. You've got a few things to consider if you're the Clippers. So lots of moving pieces and a tough pick, I think. All right, I'm moving over to the Denver Nuggets. They, in my opinion, in terms of team needs, are lacking a shooting guard and just overall shooting and players that can play around Jokic. A little bit of defense as well, I think, is something that they do need as well. And for me, the pick here is at 26 is Trey Murphy for the Denver Nuggets. He's a very modern NBA friendly player, 3-and-D long wing. Might be more of a small forward, but like can play a big shooting guard, I think, potentially as an off-ball threat, three-point shooter, good at getting into the passing lanes, long player. And I think he would fit very nicely in this Denver Nuggets team. So that's my pick there at 26, Trey Murphy. And any thoughts on Trey Murphy? I guess we're at the point of the draft now where these are not really super high upside players, but players that are fitting a bit of a need.
Yeah, I totally agree. He fits a need. He's a three-point shooter. He's a specialist. That's what he does. He's been doing it for a few years now at the college level. He shot 43% last college season, and 36 before that, and 42 in his first year. So 3 years of college there, all with pretty damn good shooting efficiency. So
he's 6'9". Like, he's a big guy as well. And that's so I like that size. Yeah,
he can shoot over anyone, and he can move pretty well as well. So there's a bit of upside there, but in terms of his role, I think he knows it. Whoever's drafting him knows it, that he's going to come off the bench and try and be a spark plug and hit some threes. And I like that from, I think they, Dougie McDermott probably didn't do amazingly well for Indiana this year. Oh, no, we're talking Denver. For Denver, yeah, look, he can go under Michael Porter Jr.'s wing a bit.
Yeah, well, I think Michael Porter Jr. is the star there, but I'm sort of trying to fill the gap of Will Barton and that sort of a type. Obviously, you're lacking Jamal Murray this year, but you've got a decent window still here for the Denver Nuggets. So, you know, at 21 years old, again, we're not selecting the youngest prospects in the draft, but there's still room and it's still young enough for them to develop. And I like his two-way ability here, which is why I'm selecting here. Let's go on to pick 27 for the Brooklyn Nets. Who have they got here, Cal?
So 27, obviously Brooklyn are a win-now team. They have given up a bit of their future for the James Harden trade, but that being said, I do think Spencer Dinwiddie is on the move. I'm not too sure how it's going to happen.
He might get a lot of money, I think.
Yeah. Obviously, he's coming off a bit of a bad injury, but there's some, I guess, bench minutes. I understand that they've got the triple-headed dragon and you know, Harden, yeah. Durant, and Irving. So they don't really need a bench guy anyway, because they're always going to have one of those guys on the court. But I like this guy's game. He's mature. I'm going to go Chris Duarte.
Duarte, I think. Yeah.
For Oregon. He's old. That's the one knock against him is that, yes,
yeah.
He's old. I think he's 24, which is one of the older
prospects. He's already 24.
There, but for a late draft
pick. He's the oldest one we've selected so far by a fair bit.
But he looks like a solid player. He could be a role player in this league. He could even be a starter. That wouldn't surprise me either in a couple years if there's a team that needs a starter. He's a solid dude, 6'6", holds his own, can hit the three. He shot 42% from three this season, so he can spot up shoot. He can be reasonable at defense, 1.9 steals, 0.8 blocks.
No, solid.
He's a guy who would just step in. Obviously, Oregon did really well in the college season as well. So he's a guy who can just step up and play good minutes. And that's what Brooklyn needs.
Yep. No, I love it. I think it's the perfect pick. I would have considered him at pick 22 for the Lakers if Corey Kispert wasn't on the table. You know, all those sort of pick, LA Clippers, I would have considered him there as well. You know, definitely one of those contribute now kind of players. Similar to Trey Murphy in the fact that he's that 3-and-D classic. Not going to create off the dribble as much, but going to be that spot-up shooter, play good defense, play within the team system. And I think at Brooklyn Nets, when you've got other players creating so much attention, he's going to thrive in a system like that and will be great to contribute straight away.
Yeah, because of his defensive side, I'd say he arguably could be held up there with the Kispits of the world. Like,
yeah,
he's just a bit older, but still.
A little bit older. I'm probably not quite the shooter that Kispert is, in my opinion, but may be a bit better on the defensive end and probably got a bit more of that length, which can definitely help. And you know, people can develop three-point shooting fairly quickly as part of their skill package. It's something we definitely have seen. All right, we'll go through these last few picks relatively quickly. The Philadelphia 76ers. Well, I guess the big question here is, what are they doing with Ben Simmons? You know, is he going to be here? Apparently, trades are being talked about.
He's gone.
So
he's gone. I'm putting money on it.
I'm tending to think that he's not going to be there. So it is hard for us to project what they need. But I think they need some shooting. They need some scoring from the guard position. There's a little bit of upside here in this player that I'm going to pick. I have considered Josh Christopher, but he's someone, you know, he's a bucket getter, but someone who I don't really love as a prospect going to a team that already has some good players like Embiid. And you know, he's the kind of guy that needs the ball in hand. So I considered him, but I'm actually going with... I don't know how to pronounce the first name. Nashawn Highland, or Bones Highland is his nickname. Bones Highland. He's a wiry point guard with a bit of upside. Really good three-point shooter. Skinny, thin, but has a bit of upside because of his length and his quickness and first step. But basically he's coming into this team because of his shooting that can contribute right away with a little bit of upside down the line. So Bones Highland is my pick at pick 28.
Okay. He's pretty long, skinny. I haven't seen too much of him, but I've got his stats up now. It's pretty impressive. You got about 20 points a game, 4 rebounds. So he's a bit of a scorer. Shoot the ball reasonably well, 37% from 3.
Yep.
So there's definitely some potential there.
Yeah, he's someone that I've actually done a bit of study on, and he's one of my favorites at the back end of this draft. I do think that there is a bit of upside here. You know, he's nearly 21, so still got a bit of age on his side. 1.9 steals, so he's got the ability to get into the passing lanes and be disruptive there. So, and combined with that shooting, I think he's got a place in the NBA. So, Bones Highland's my pick here. Let's go on to pick 29. Who are the Phoenix Suns, the potential NBA champions, selecting here, Cal?
It's one of those things. Who do the Phoenix Suns need? I'm assuming that they're going to re-sign Chris Paul, so he should be back on the team.
You would hope so.
They do have a bit of a deficiency in backup center. You'd like to think that their pick from last season would maybe blossom into something, but it's unforeseen really at this point. And there's not really a lot of big centers I really do love on the board at this point in the draft either, so it's mainly pretty guard heavy. So I'm going to end up just taking a bit of a 3-and-D guy who can always just fit any role on any team. In Josh Christopher, for the 29th yep. pick for the Suns. As I said, 3-and-D guy, probably more on the defensive end at this point in time. Probably he's obviously a prospect and needs to work in his game. He's 6'4", but you know, he was getting about 1.5 steals per game, and the threes, like, he's only shooting 30%, but he was still taking them. He was taking about 4 a game, and
yep.
he's young. He should be able to blossom into a reasonable role, I hope, in the NBA. But he's probably, his ceiling would be a role player.
Yeah, I don't mind. I think he's got a slightly higher ceiling than that. I mean, he's got a bit of athleticism to him. Being a freshman, being younger, there's time on his side. So I like that at this point in the draft. I do think that there is a little bit of upside, maybe as like a rotation starter at his top end ceiling. And I think the Phoenix Suns have the ability that they do have a bit of a window. Even though they could be the NBA champions, they are fairly young. So, you know, you do have the ability to pick a bit of youth on this team. And like you said, I too don't really see much value at center at this point in the draft. You know, you could probably, I'm not sure, I would have to look into it if they've got any second round picks, but you know, you could even trade into one of those picks, even if you don't, to get one of these. There's a few athletic centers at the back end of the second round that you could pick up and just throw darts against the wall and see what happens. But I don't mind it. Josh Christopher at pick 29. And with the last draft, the Utah Jazz at pick 30 are selecting Roko Prakasin.
Prakasin? Nailed it.
Roko. They're selecting Roko. He's a foreign prospect, obviously. 6'9", power forward, 18 years old, so he's young. He has a bit of a flash as a floor spacing big guy. I think one of the holes for the Utah Jazz team is that power forward position. You've obviously got, you know, players like, I think Bogey was playing a little bit there, but he's more of a small forward. You've got other few players floating through there, but you've got Donovan Mitchell, you've got Mike Conley, you've got Joe Ingles, you've got Rudy Gobert. So that's the position of need. I think that they need to fill there. And if you can get a floor spacer to continue to help Rudy Gobert out there, I think that is where I'm going to go with this pick. And being young, being 18 years old or 18 and a half years old, you've got that upside there with his age. So I am going with Roko to close the draft. Have you heard much about Roko? He's a bit of an unknown prospect.
No, I've seen a bit of him pop up. Some people have him going in around the 20s.
Yep, I have seen him higher.
Mainly,
yeah.
Mainly for teams, obviously, who just obviously can punt on a bit of a prospect. So a team like your... Yeah. You know, your Rockets, for example, Houston Rockets, or your OKC Thunder, I've seen him going around to that mid-20s where their picks are. Even Philly as well, the 28th pick, could consider him as the kind of like a stretch big to go with Joel Embiid. Maybe there's some minutes there for
yeah.
him. Because obviously with Embiid's strengths defensively, I don't think obviously Roko's probably got a huge ceiling on that end. But I've seen some talk about him. There's definitely, I'm not going to be surprised if he's in the 20s and... I think this fits nicely for him. He should be a first-round pick, so he'll be pretty happy of going to the 30th pick today.
Yeah, Utah Jazz snatching him up. They do love their foreign prospects. They've got a few on their team, so I think he'll feel right at home there. So, well, that'll do it for us today, Cal. All 30 picks. Go back and check out our other mock draft if you found this one first. Give us a like on the video, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and again, you can follow us at Ball Boys NBA on Twitter for all of our reactions. We've got some more draft stuff coming up. The draft is not too far away now though, so we're going to be honing in on the players we like on the draft, players we don't like on the draft, maybe some bust potentials, and as well as a few other things to talk about. So anything else to say before we close out here, Cal?
No, I'm pretty happy with this big board. We'll put it up there for everyone to see. So well done, Mitchie.
Yeah, up on the video screen for everyone on YouTube, you'll be able to see the recap with everyone there. Let us know who you think we took too low. If you think Sharif Cooper got slid down the draft too low, if you would have picked Corey Kispert way higher, let us know your thoughts in the comments section below. We love chatting NBA. And until next time, we'll catch you later. Laters.
Thank you. You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.